being in nature and just not having the daily stimulus that you would in a city is really what catapulted me forward quite quickly into this more of an accelerated version of the Dark Night of the Soul.
Thank you for getting naked with Nate for another week. I am so excited about this week's episode. It has turned out to be one of my all-time favorites. Speaking with the lovely Alex Leichermoser, who is based in Canada, was a gift, a privilege, and an honor. She just rocked my world, basically. And so this covers some super valuable, super useful information. And also hearing another person's story, another human wandering through the human experience and doing the best that they can to make sense of it and having some success. And so this story, I feel, it was certainly inspiring and useful for me. And I imagine that it will be the same for you. As I said, we cover a lot of topics. There is a lot of actionable, useful information in this one. I do put that, as much of it as I can, into the show notes. So go to nakedwithnate.com and you can check all the links and little quotes and various things I thought you'd like to hear about, books we mention, things like that. And also, if you do click any of the book links and make any purchases through those links, then I get some affiliate marketing money from that. It doesn't cost you anything extra and it helps the podcast. So there's that extra bonus, which is cool. But we talk about such epic stuff. I mean, I'm going to just like read out a few of the points out of so many. Why it's important to give ourselves permission to flow, moving into the shared economies, how the dark night of the soul is the death of the old and the birth of the true self. About Alex's extreme decision to close her yoga studio and leave her busy life in the city. She ended up living in Hawaii and now lives in a rural area growing her own food. I mean, there's a whole bunch of really beautiful, beautiful stuff in here. I could keep going, but I'm going to leave it to Alex and myself to have the conversation as we did for you to listen to it just as it came. And yeah, thank you for being here. Before we get started with this week's episode, I wanted to give a very enthusiastic, loving, grateful, delighted thank you to Julie and to Kaz, who are two patrons who have recently pledged. And yeah, just thank you. Thank you for helping this podcast to happen. Thank you for helping my music to happen. Thank you for keeping everything I create ad-free. It is the best thing in the world. And if you would like to have your name read out on this podcast, then check out my Patreon page. You can just go to nakedwithnate.com and click the Become a Patron button and all shall be well. I also have to read out this review because it made me so happy to read. So thank you to SheRocket, which is a great username, by the way. And yeah, just for this 5-star review and for this beautiful comment. Nate is able to express himself with sincere eloquence. He can voice the way we feel when our own words fail. If we all turn inward during dark times, we are truly alone. I was feeling like a shiny apple, red and perfect outside, but bland and dry inside. Thank you, Nate, for bravely putting yourself out there. Never give up. Thank you so much, SheRocket. I have a slight sense that I may have read this one out before, but anyway, it's worth another one. Before we start this conversation between Alex and myself, we're going to listen to a song just to kind of flow us into things. And so, yeah, once that's done, we'll get started. Thank you very much to my friend Sam Garrett for this beautiful song and for letting me use your music on my podcast. I will also put links to his music in the show notes. Here we have Sam Garrett.
trees are falling down, leaf by leaf. I see a world in need. The politicians vow to keep the peace. I see them living in greed, yeah. But the children need to feed.
So welcome to the podcast. Thanks for getting naked with Nate. Really excited to have you here and to see what unfolds and where this goes in a natural way. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it was your voice note, which was now already from a few months ago, but it was your voice note after one of my episodes that you left, and you were like, hey, you were asking for... I remember I sent an email out and you were like, I'd love to come on your podcast. And then that was how the conversation started. And fast forward a few months and here we are making it happen. So it's very exciting for me.
Yes.
So how do you say your surname? This is something like a random curiosity I have.
Okay. It's Leiker Moser. So it's a lot easier than it looks.
Okay, nice. That's basically how I would have said it. And maybe that's, you just got to kind of go with it sometimes. Something that you said to me in one of our early emails when we were kind of talking about doing this podcast recording that really stood out to me, and I kind of wanted to, it's like the top thing on the list of things that I'm interested to have a chat about, was this this quote from Eckhart Tolle, which you said was, he says, the dark night of the soul is the death of the old self and the birth of the true self. And now this has like, there's a lot of reasons that I'm interested in this right now. One of them is that I've come across this concept of the false self recently, and it's been kind of resonating with me. And I actually picked a book up again a few days ago out of my girlfriend's parents' bookshelf, a book about John Lennon. And I opened up a random page, and the first thing it talked about was John Lennon doing this weird exercise where he'd sit and like imagine different layers of his false selves as external sort of projections, and he'd place them around the room, and he'd try to just keep placing them until he got down to his true self. And so there's this thing of like going through a challenge, almost like the hero's journey, I guess you would call it. I know you mentioned Joseph Campbell as well. And so I would just like to hear a bit as we start, like, what was your dark night of the soul, and what is it that you've gone through that has brought you to where you are now? And yeah, basically, let's start there.
Oh my goodness. Nothing like starting off right, you know. Let's go real deep, real fast.
We can talk about the weather first, if that's easy.
I'm used to usually easing into it with the weather, but yeah, the weather here is great. And, wow. Well, thank you first of all, you know, just being open to have these conversations, because I think that's really what's needed, is just more opportunities for us to actually connect and talk about these things. And each of us bringing, you know, maybe a different experience or perspective. And then, of course, we're not the first ones. They're the first people on the planet to go through this, this kind of, I look at it as a bit of a rebirth. And I think that artists and, you know, musicians and creative individuals are used to going through different levels of shedding and growth and recreation, is kind of a general sense I'm saying. And then with my studies of yoga and meditation, I feel like I got another kind of whole, you know, insight. And we talk about it like peeling away the layers of the onion, you know, and in a sense, those are those layers of the ego and the identity that we realize some of those just really aren't serving us, but they've just become habit, right? They've become a part of us out of whether it's a conditioning of our environment or our family. And then what I'm finding for myself as I go deeper within my own daily practice of yoga and meditation, I started to discover, like, why am I actually doing that still? Or, you know, that action or that, you know, when I really don't, that's not really who I am, or it doesn't serve me, or, you know, maybe it was just something I did, you know, to fit in socially or whatever, that kind of thing. Right. So I think it's interesting when we start to actually get more present and slow down. And I think that's what it has been for me. I think I'm pulling the plug on my life in the big city in Toronto and, you know, closing my yoga studio there and just saying, that's it. I'm pulling the plug and I'm going to do something differently, because I wasn't really able to do it while I was in it. And so it was a little extreme, but it worked for me. And then I took off and I lived in Hawaii for a while. And now I live in a remote area outside of Toronto. And I feel like that, you know, being in nature and just not having the daily stimulus that you would in a city is really what catapulted me forward quite quickly into this more of an accelerated version of the dark night of the soul. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's a lot of things that I'm super interested in about there. And I think, I mean, okay, so let me bring it personal for myself, is that I'm currently in what I would call a dark night of the soul, like where it's, and have been for a while. And I've realized, and it's so interesting that the more I look at it, the more I see how long it's been going on for, and how, even though I've been living a life that I was choosing and doing things that I really care about and I'm passionate about, a lot of those things have also been coming from a place of hiding from the trauma or the discomfort or the, like, basically, I've been using, say, for example, songwriting or playing shows as a way to maintain the false self, as a way to maintain the me I show to the world. And it's become so exhausting to maintain that sort of that protective layer that I'm now just being broken further and further down. And so, it sounds like that through what your choices, it's like these very courageous choices to step towards that. And I'm one of the key questions I have, because this is where I'm at right now, is like, how do you choose self-care when it's like one of the most uncomfortable things? That's part of what I struggle with personally, is that I, at least this is my own experience of it, is that, for example, sitting and meditating or doing yoga or breath work or any of these things, they trigger, like, I'm so resistant to them, even though I believe intellectually that they would be really beneficial for me. And so, do you have any specific ways that you, even in those dark nights of the soul where you're like, I don't know what anything is anymore, I don't know what my life's supposed to be, but, and yet you still stepped into your practice? Like, how did you do that?
Wow, that's a good question.
And if you don't have an answer, that's also fine. But
no, I do. I to be honest, I'm going to be really honest.
Please,
I'm not perfect. And nobody is. And I think that's the other part, is that I've come to kind of understand, is that, you know, I, like you, I was upholding this perfect, you know, yoga image and yoga practitioner and, you know, really trying to be this saint and this martyr. And there was not a lot of room left there to be, you know, be human, be make mistakes. And, you know, I felt like I had to be this example for others. And, you know, when I discovered that actually being imperfect is what's going to inspire people more, you know, when I can actually say, hey, I'm struggling with my own practice, and I've been doing this for, you know, decades. So I think the real thing is finding, like, it's like one little thing that you can, like, for me, it seemed like the meditation, although I resisted it, it seemed like I could get up, you know, meditate for 20 minutes and meditate 20 minutes before bed. And that seemed like something that would give me a structure while I was going through this dark period, and just give me also some, I want to say, like, a container or structure or stability. So I think that's what's important, is it may be different for you. Like for you, it might be going for a walk in nature for 20 minutes every morning and evening, or, you know, something. And definitely the meditation is the number one thing I believe that can move you through it. If you're willing to just sit there and be okay with it not being the way you expect it to be, because that's, you know, meditation really is that. It's just a sitting there and a commitment to sit and see what happens. And eventually you may get, you know, in your practice, a moment of where you feel a complete peace or calm and nothingness, and you're like, oh, that's it. You know, this is what it's all about. And at the end of the day, it's not about creating that every time you meditate, because then you're trying to push that false way of being onto a practice that is just about learning to be and be present with whatever is.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said. It's funny. The thing that came to mind as you were saying that was this thing. You may have heard it, or maybe not, but spiritual bypassing. And it's quite a big thing that I witness in the kind of the New Age movement, where it's all about, all the language is about spirituality and resonance and high vibration this and high vibration that. But what's happening is that often people are using their identity as a yogi or as a meditator to create a new false self that is like, look at me, I'm the cool yogi. And the cool meditator who's really good at that, who's like, I'm a master meditator, but that's actually just buying into, it's recreating the same thing just with a different packaging, which I find very interesting. And so I love hearing you say that, because I think that is such an important thing to share along with these practices that can be so useful, is that it's not about doing it like, well, I want to be the best at this thing. It's really not about that. And that definitely actually challenges me, because I have this tendency, like, if I'm going to meditate, I want to be amazing at it. But it's really hard to just actually sit and feel whatever comes up. And that's the challenge. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. And you bring up a really good point. And I think, you know, maybe we could have some fun with it. Like I tend to be a little cheeky and funny with, you know, I've been a bit of a yoga rebel, I think. And I think that's the way to approach it, is like, how bad can I be at my meditation? Or how, you know, how badly could I suck at this? You know, in a playful way, to say, to remind us that this isn't about perfecting something. Again, that's what we're moving away from, and it's such an oxymoron, because as you say, it brings us right back to the same challenge again, where we want to be this, you know, persona, and I think that's what we're really looking at, is shedding all that and then seeing what's left, and that's a really scary place for most people to go, you know, and to the unknown, and you know, what's going to be there when I get there. I mean, you know, it's you know, being that, cracking yourself that open, it's not, you know, I don't know how to say it, but
yeah, it's not shiny necessarily. It's not like doesn't make a good Instagram photo.
Exactly. Yeah, it takes courage, right? And a willingness to be okay with whatever is going to be on your journey. And I think also what I've come to see through this stage is I kind of, all the dark shadow parts of me and all the, you know, the anger and all the sadness, I had stuffed that down so far so that I could show up and be this beautiful, happy person and be there for others. And what I learned in this dark night of the soul, you know, my own version of it, was like, whoa, I really, you know, I haven't really been taking care of me and listening on a day-to-day basis to what I need and balancing that with my outer work in the world. And that's what I really think is, you know, for me, has come out of all this, is like, it's a day-to-day practice of listening, like, okay, what, you know, what do I need today? And what would that look like? You know, maybe today I need to take a 2-hour walk, and maybe tomorrow I can work harder on that other project I have to get done or whatever. But, you know, giving ourselves that permission to actually flow more with our life versus have everything, you know, every half booked and, you know, which is how I had to run my life in the past, is much more structured and, you know, oh, I'm busy. That doesn't leave much time for, you know, the self and really allowing all that to bubble up, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well said. It's interesting how, and I think about this a lot, actually, as someone who is supported by a group of people on Patreon. I actually, one of the things I have the most of in my life, because of this incredible support and trust that is placed on me, or in me, that they have in me, is that I actually have time wealth. I can do whatever I choose with any moment of every day. And I think often about many of my patrons who themselves are pledging money to me that is money that they're working super hard for while working maybe in jobs that they aren't very passionate about, or that they, you know, sitting in an office or all those kinds of things. And I just think, like, there's actually, and I've only been realizing this recently, but I have some guilt around that I feel like, who am I to deserve the support from people who are working so hard, and I'm here, and this is a part of the challenge I'm going through, is where I feel like currently I'm here in some ways wasting that because I am going through this dark night of the soul where I'm not able to take action or be busy in the way that I'm accustomed to, it's very hard for me to just be okay with that when I'm like, but who am I to deserve this when others have to work so hard for it? And so it's just, I just like hearing, because I mean, I read obviously some of your story on your website, talking about how you came from like the serial entrepreneur, like, as you say, busy. Like if people asked you how you were, the response would be, I'm busy. And that's such a common thing that people say. It's such a strange way to respond to how are you? And yet you've also had to shift your life into a different space. And I suppose, yeah, it's just nice to hear from you. And I'd love to hear a bit more of like how that sort of transition happened for you. And just for myself to know what that might look like.
Well, first, I want to just say a little bit to what you just shared. And I feel really strongly that you are working hard. You know, like, I think, again, it's just, we need to look at this differently. And, you know, we are moving into more of a shared economy where different parts of us, you know, different people in the community and have different strengths and different wisdom. And I think in ancient, you know, history, maybe that was more valued. You know, there was someone in the town that, you know, was really good at this and someone who was good at this. And I think that I'd like to think that's what we're coming back to. And, you know, your role right now is really important. You know, you've committed to doing these podcasts and sharing conversations and information, and I think that is just as valuable as, you know, someone else that may be contributing in a different way, you know, through their job, and maybe, you know, again, I think we're all on a different journey and a different, you know, path, and it's finding our own soul's journey and what that is. And so for someone maybe that's working, you know, in a city, in an office, you know, for them, you know, they may be able to take some of this knowledge and information and translate it to people around them in their office. And that would be hugely valuable, you know, and so that's where they're supposed to be right now. And I think, yeah, so just to let you know that where you are right now is perfect and what you're doing is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And I think when we can actually, that was a part of my deep dark of the soul too, is like, I woke up and was like, oh my God, you know, this, I'm useless. My life, you know, I've done everything. What am I going to do next? You know, what's my contribution? And I was just so focused on like, what, you know, not producing and not being creative and not, and what I was missing at that time. And I can see now is like, actually that whole journey I went through is so much going to inform my next chapter of my life and how I'm going to express myself, you know, both creatively and as a guide. And so, trust that, you know, you're in a special kind of training right now, and that, you know, when you're, you know, whenever that is complete in its own way, we'll bring that back out in a really dynamic way. You know, it's, and it is that natural also rhythm of life. We forget that, you know, it's not sustainable to always be like, go, go, go. You know, we need to have the down times where we're going more inner and we're reflecting and we're taking time. And so, you know, this soul journey, and, you know, there are times where we go down low and we go within. And that's, I think to be also just honored, you know, and so just, I don't know if that, you know, answers a bit of what you were asking, but, there was a second point and I forgot now what it was going to be.
Yeah. Thank you for that. No, the other one was really how your transition was from being busy to being, I guess, I don't know, maybe real or shifting into a different sort of where time had a different meaning.
Okay. Yes. I think what it is for me is actually knowing I have a choice and choosing more consciously what it is I want to do in my day to day, like who, you know, choosing to be on this podcast today. I tuned in. This felt, you know, I got excited. This felt right. And so it's choosing those things that are aligned more with my authentic self and my soul that I feel like would be moving me, you know, and others forward, because it is kind of one and the same. And yeah, I think just, it's almost like redesigning your life, having come from a background, you know, doing interior design and working with space. I kind of see this as like, whoa, this is like a whole blank canvas or a whole blank space. And now what do I want to fill my life with? Or what do I want to fill my days with or my hours? And very quickly, you know, you, when a space is empty, we know this on our desk or in our home, suddenly we're like filling it with stuff, you know? And so there is that danger I noticed of like wanting to go right back to the old pattern of just wanting to fill my schedule and be busy. And yet I've noticed I've been able to really maintain more of that, like the structure and the practice in the morning that serves me. And, you know, and so I think that, yeah, that's really the key is like, you know, really looking at how do you want to, what is your dream life? What would that look like? You know, and in terms of self-care and daily practices and, you know, serving the planet and others or creating and really coming more from a conscious place versus a conditioned or habitual way of doing things.
Yeah, I hear that. I like that a lot. And so how, so, because I think you said now that you're doing, is it sort of like conference call, not conference call, but consulting in a way? I don't think that's quite the right word, but that you've moved into. And how did you like come into that? I mean, because that's quite a shift in some ways from what you were doing before.
Yeah, definitely. I think what I started noticing is that I don't really want to go back to the city and the old way of being, you know, go, go, go. And I was just looking for a way to use some of my gifts, my talents, my knowledge and utilize technology. Cause we, you know, this is amazing. We can have a conversation from across the world and have a connection. So I started offering, I was already doing it, I think, while I was teaching yoga, you know, coaching and guiding people in terms of lifestyle choices, in terms of food and you know, their home and their clothing and really seeing that it's all connected, you know, how we're doing one thing is how we're doing everything. And so now that's just kind of organically grown into having conversations much like this with people where, you know, they get to just come to me with what it is they're really, you know, working on, whether it's their health, their wellness. You know, it's all connected. I can quickly see like that by making some changes maybe in their environment or you know, some new food choices, they could maybe have a shift in their overall well-being. And so that's kind of exciting to me. That's like, this is opening up. And I even did a consult with a woman in the US the other day for her home office. She's like, I would love to have you, you know, choose a new color and help me create a positive environment in this space. And so I'm really seeing that there's something new here, and I don't know exactly what it is yet, but it is definitely being of service in a new way where I can still be committed to, you know, my health and be there for others. So I think that's kind of my next chapter. And that there's a lot of room for me to be creative and express myself in my day, whether it's music or art or cooking, you know, and then be able to share that with others. So that's really what I'm looking to create. And I don't have all the answers, you know, it's just kind of evolving naturally out of the stage that I'm coming out of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It's a beautiful image, actually. I really like that. The sense of, I like how you came from an interior design background and now in a sense you're like helping people to interior design the structure of their lives in a way, like where, you know, like you said, I love that image of how you emptied out your life and then how easy it is to fill it up, but like you've chosen to fill it with the things that make sense to you. It's like feng shui of the internal state. which is really lovely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, thank you. I love that that you got that. And yeah, it is a bit of that, right? It's like, how do we want to design our body, our mind, our living environment, you know, everything. We being conscious designers or creators or architects of our life is really what I think we're moving into as, you know, the evolution right now that we're in as a human race, and the choice that we have to really take what we've learned, and we've got technology. So how could we, instead of letting technology take over our lives, which it can very easily do, you know, how can we use it as a tool to have like moments like this where it's so dynamic and amazing, and then we get to share that, and then yet have the boundaries and the balance that are healthy. You know, in terms of having, like I was journal this morning and I wrote some of the key things that have helped me, you know, on my journey. And one of them is nature, you know, taking time to go outside. And, you know, even if you live in a city, go to a park, you know, find some trees and some grass. And, you know, I really do believe that's a big piece in terms of reconnecting to yourself. And also, I think when you're outside, you tend to be more open to playing and playfulness. And I think that's another piece on my journey that I noticed was really important is that almost that spontaneity of a child, you know, that we lose as adults sometimes, and just finding that again, discovering that again, the more just really natural play. That doesn't come from the ego or having to produce something. It's like, oh, here, I made this, and it doesn't really matter, you know, what you do with it. It's like almost like when you look at the sand art that the monks do, and it's impermanent, you know, and then they just wipe it down and they start all over again. And I think it's creating from that new place that's not about producing or having outcomes. It's more about in the moment, connecting and co-creating. I think that's really the new way of creation, and that I'm interested in terms of music and art is like more of an experience and what you take from that journey versus the outcome you're trying to create.
I love that so much. It's funny you say that, and maybe it's not funny, and I mean it kind of aligns with what I've been going through today, because I started writing a new song today, and almost immediately, which this is what's been happening to a lot of my creating for quite a long time now, is that the voice in my head starts telling me all the reasons that it's not good enough to be a thing. And so instead of enjoying the creation itself, I immediately start to be very critical of it. And it actually reminds mm-hmm. me of an experience I had some years ago. And actually something I want to talk about more on this podcast at some point in the near future is plant medicines and helping people. Because I think, although in my life it's been such a big part of my awareness for a long time, I think for so many people, they're still in the mindset, the old mindset of that drugs are bad. And there's this whole story that goes along with that. And so I want to assist people in understanding that there's a very big difference between medicinally using certain plant medicines. And anyway, in this case, it was some years ago, I happened across a very small dose of psilocybin, so magic mushrooms. And I hadn't experimented with anything like that since I was a teenager. But it was at some outdoor party in England, and it just happened that someone offered me some at a certain time when I was like, I'll have like the tiniest little bit. It's like, and it ended up affecting me quite deeply. But what happened was I was sitting under a tree with some friends and I had a guitar, and I started playing one of my songs. I started playing my song Fire. And because the medicine at that point had completely like dissolved that voice in my head, so the ego or whatever, the critic, that voice was gone. And all that I could, it was the most amazing feeling to just sit and play a song. And all I could feel about the song was, this is the most beautiful thing. What a pleasure to be able to do this. Like, what an absolute gift. And there was nothing of that of like, oh, I hope people are listening, or I hope they care, or I hope that I'm playing it well, or all of that stuff was just gone. And all I had in that moment was, thank you so much for this gift. Like, this is the most beautiful thing. And so anyway, so today my experience was different. And I just before our call, actually, I was going through old songs that I started and made voice notes of on my phone and listening, and how many of them I haven't done anything with. And having now the separation of time where it's like some of them I started a year ago and listening now going, oh, that's actually really nice. But in the moment, I would do it and go, ah, that's not worth doing anything with, and I'd leave it. And I thought, well, I'm doing that again today. So let me actually revisit this song and give it time and just give it like, just play with it and forget about all the bullshit of like, oh, is it good enough? It doesn't bloody matter. And it's exactly what you're just saying, is that the process itself, the playfulness is like actually the most important thing. Anyway, that's my little piece on that.
Wow. And you've touched on a couple of really key things. I think that, I am a believer in, how do I say this? Well, I'm not obviously an advocate for using plant medicine, but I am a believer in using everything in balance. And I believe that there are many tools you can use to remind you, like, on my journey, I've had many experiences, but I utilize it more as a tool, as a guide, as a teacher. And it's not like a social, I think there's a danger again that some of these natural plant medicines become, just something like you would go to have, go to a party. And I think that if used wisely and really to remind us of our potential and our creativity and that guard that you noticed that dropped, and then now, remind yourself in your day to day, like, oh yeah, that feeling is, that's where I want to come back to, that place where I was creating from my heart, from that pure place. And, I believe that can be achieved, through yoga and meditation or Tai Chi, any of those practices, ancient practices. And it takes a long time. and sometimes, by using a tool, you can get an accelerated glimpse, an opening that can move you further more quickly. And I do believe that that's possible. And again, it's just using these tools in responsible and ways, environments where it's safe and you're supported and all that kind of thing. But there was another point you brought up, and it reminded me of this moment when I was in Hawaii in kind of a very remote area. And there was really nothing to do in this area, but there would happen to be a pizza night that night. A farmer had some land and they had a pizza oven, and everybody from the town came that night and had pizza. And so people from all over, you know, different remote areas could come and were having pizza that night. And there was a father and a son, and they were playing music. They just happened to be sitting on one of the picnic tables outside. And the two of them together, there was just such a magic and a place they were singing and creating from that touched my heart so deeply that I'll never forget that moment in my whole life. And if I felt like, to me, that was the first time I really heard two people sing from their heart, you know, like really, truly. But maybe it was just the first time that I was listening, you know, able to listen from that place. I don't know, maybe a combination of both. But I really believe, like, if we can, yeah, create from that place, you know, imagine the people that will hear your songs and that will be touched. Because you will be creating from that place of your heart and your authentic, you know, place. And I think that's really what it's about. And you know, if you just touch one person's life and they have a shift like I did that day with that father and son, then it's worth it. You know, it's worth you putting your song out there. And I think that's what we need to remember is, you know, one person at a time. It doesn't have to be pleasing millions. It's just, you know, one person will be touched and they will take that and bring it into their life somehow. And that's really, I think, the beauty of, you know, sharing from this real place.
Yeah, it's I agree. And it really, like, this thing I've said a lot recently, or over the last few months, I had this realization that the only thing missing in my life is me. And it was this, it's like this thing of so many people have had so much joy from what I have brought into the world through my music and even through these podcasts. And it's the strangest thing to look and realize, and without judgment, not saying, oh, poor me, but just to look and realize that I'm the one person who doesn't get to, a lot of the time, who doesn't actually get to enjoy the beautiful life that I have. It's the weirdest thing. And I think it's a good thing to become aware of, is to go, my perception of myself is not the way that others see me or feel me or know me through what I share with the world. And that's why it's worth doing the work of going deeper into self, is because I also deserve to feel that joy of being like, hey, this Nathan, he's a rad dude. And it's like, let's appreciate that.
Mm, yeah, you touch on a really good point. I mean, the greatest revolution is self-love, right? It's really, and it really is what we're working on now. And so, yeah, again, it's that reminder of, it's a practice. Loving yourself is a practice. And it's not like the ego, you know, the selfies and the, you know, that's like a different kind of self-love that's happening. But I, you know, the real self-love where you really, you know, take that time, like I said, daily to tune in, like what, you know, I ask myself sometimes, like, what does Alex need today? Or what does my little girl need today? And, you know, but sometimes she just wants to go out and play, and she just wants to roll in the leaves or kick some leaves up and throw them in the air. And, you know, giving myself that permission to be all the aspects of me is really a practice. It's not something we're trained to do. And so it really is a journey of discovering how to bring that into your life. And so that you can enjoy all those nuances of who you really are, you know, the beautiful little bits that maybe others see, but to be able to actually acknowledge them, like in a, as if you were loving someone else, you know, loving yourself in that way, is really, it takes something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I feel like I know the answer to this, but for anyone who's listening, and for me as well, but like, if someone's listening to this and goes, you know what, that makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like I am also sort of struggling to live my authentic self. and say that person has what they would call a busy life. Maybe they have kids or just like a job that occupies a lot of time. What would you say is not the quickest, as in not a quick fix, but like what's the one thing they could do on a daily basis and for maybe even for how long, just to give people as much detail as possible. And like, I feel like, you know, as you said, meditation, but like for someone who feels like they are time poor, where could they start?
Great question. And what popped into my mind first was people who have kids, you are so blessed. You know, you already have the perfect teachers and guides, little gurus living with you. And, you know, they're going to push your limits, but they're also there to remind you like, hey, let's go play, you know, and then you're like, oh, I'm too busy. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, let them push you, push you to go out and play and allow that to, you know, maybe opportunity to be a chance to rediscover some of, you know, whether it's art or music or, I think that is a great opportunity right there. For others who, you know, are really, in a time crunch with their work, you know, this doesn't take a lot of time. It's about carving out, you know, one minute of complete, you know, quiet reflection time, breathing. It could seem like hours, you know, so it's really about quality, not quantity. And I do have a fun little guided meditation CD that are actually 1 minute and 2 minute little breaks, because I realized that's all that some people have, including myself at the time when I made it. So I think that's really the one thing I could recommend is just commit to 1 minute. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do 1 minute of breathing. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm glad you brought up that CD because I found it while I was just like checking out your website and stuff. And I just got to say the title of it is absolutely fantastic. If it's the same one.
Yeah. The wine less, breathe more. I think that was just me being cheeky with myself. At that time, I realized that I was, you know, doing a lot of complaining about things that weren't working in my life. And so it was really turning the mirror on myself and reminding myself that, why not whine a little less and breathe a little more and see what happens. And that was a real shift, you know, shifting point for me. I think along with that, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, but we didn't go into it, was the idea of gratitude. You know, that gratitude practice is something you could do throughout your day, even if you are really busy. And, you know, something a little mantra I just remind myself of is like, I am so blessed. You know, I am so blessed. And so even when something happens in my day that isn't really a blessing, or I think at that point, this is not going well, I just remind myself, I am so blessed. And just, you know, whatever this little thing glitches or it's going to reveal itself and everything will be fine. And, you know, just coming back into the gratitude when we get pushed off center into lack or what's not working and, you know, I'm too busy, I'm too this, just bring it back to, you know, wow, I'm grateful I'm alive. I'm grateful for this blue sky, or I'm grateful. Find one thing that you can be grateful of in that moment to bring you back into a place of, you know, harmony or joy or peace. Yeah.
I love that. There's actually that one comes up, I think, across the board from just more and more that a simple gratitude practice can make a huge difference. And there's something which you reminded me of now. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I think it's like the 21-day no complaint challenge. It's something I heard on Tim Ferriss's podcast. And it's like a very basic thing. And I feel like combining it with breath work or with some kind of a presence practice would like exponentially increase the effectiveness. Cause I don't think he talks about that, but I'm knocking my microphone. But he basically says you get a little bracelet or some kind of reminder thing. And you put it on one wrist and then you commit to no complaints for 21 days. And anytime you catch yourself complaining about something where it's, you know, that kind of whiny, like, gossiping or something. You have to swap. You have to start over, and you have to swap wrists. And then the objective is to get to 21 days of straight with no complaining. And then he also went further, and he said, "But we have to define what complaining is, because sometimes, so a complaint is something where you haven't really given any solution. So he said it's okay to say like this isn't working for me. If you're then going to say, and here's the solution I'm going to experiment with and see if that helps, whatever the situation is, because." It is important to acknowledge if things aren't working. I loved that he said that. I was like, that's nice, because it's not all about, oh, everything is awesome all of the time. But it is about just reframing that perspective on like, oh, why is this happening to me? Poor me, which is a tendency that I have. And as you said, we are human. And so I just love the idea of combining that with some kind of a minutes breath work and I'm actually going to link to that CD in the show notes. So as always, people can just go to nakedwithnate.com and find it there, and they can buy that CD. Cause I was checking it out actually just before the call. I was like, this seems so nice. And the reviews on CD Baby are really sweet. Of like, someone said, I've never reached the end cause I just fall asleep every time. It's so lovely. You're like, that's
cool.
Which is great.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I made that CD actually, God, I can't even remember. It must be 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. It was quite, I think I was ahead of my time, but, it's a whole funny story, but maybe that's another time. But we did that basically, a friend of mine who's a musician and had a little recording studio in his house. Michael Moon, amazing musician. And he did that CD with me, and you know, I didn't have a lot of money at that time, and we literally did it in one take. That whole thing is live and nothing edited. And he said, I work with a lot of professionals and I've never done that. And I said, cool, that means it was real. You know, it was my authentic self showing up. So I hope people will get to experience that as they're doing the breathing and get inspired. That was the idea, is that people would be inspired to do a little breathing every day. And I love your idea of linking it with the, not complaining, because I've been working on that for myself as well. I've noticed, the victim mode or victim, you know, is something that we it's almost like a program or something we're used to running. And so when you can catch yourself like, oh yeah, I'm doing that thing where I'm not in my power, right? I'm powerless, because that's what really being a victim is. And you're giving up your power to a situation or a person. And instead of doing what you just said, to say, hey, you know, yeah, this isn't really working for me. And how could I choose something different? Or what would that look like? And if you can't in that moment, at least the next time, you know, you have a choice with that person, or if it comes up again. And that has been a big portion of my shift is shifting out of that victim mentality and into a more empowered place. And another part is catching those negative thoughts, you know, like you were talking about earlier when you were doing, you're playing your music sometimes, like, oh, well, you know, is it good enough? Will people like it? You know, really catching those thoughts and just knowing that those are not really us. Those are something that we picked up somewhere along the way. It could have been our mom or our dad or a friend that was critical, you know, or just that inner critic that we just have become a habit of letting that voice speak up. And so one thing I've been doing, like I call it like no negative thoughts, you know, is just catching myself to say like, oh yeah, no, that's a negative thought and that's not serving me. That's not what I'm committed to. I'm really committed to, you know, being positive in my outlook for myself and others. And catching, you know, just catching those. It's a practice. That's a whole practice in itself. for sure. And I think combined with the breathing, I like the idea of the bracelet and just, you know, catching it. You know, people could either do gratitude or do the version you just suggested. I think that would be a great practice and it'd be fun to hear how people do with it.
Yeah. Do let us know if anyone takes any of this on board and tries it out. And as always, just send me a message on nakedwithnate.com and I'd be happy to share results or challenges or feedback. And I can always forward an email to Alex as well. And because you also provide a service of assisting people in this kind of stuff. So is there a website people can visit to kind of find out more about, or can I, if someone messages me, I suppose I could just pass on some of your details.
Yeah, that'd be great. To be honest, my current websites are sort of not really in alignment with where I'm going, let's say. But they can certainly, you know, go there and see a bit of what I've done and what I'm doing. I feel like I've got one foot in my old world and one foot in my new world, and I'm sort of in between. And so it'll be exciting for the new year. You know, I plan to have the websites be more aligned, like my personal website, alexleichermoser.com, and then yoga girl with the u.com. And yeah, and also just I've been listening a lot. Like, I'm sure you receive a lot of feedback. So I've done a lot of, you know, 30-minute little mini sessions with people. And I just really been listening for what people are dealing with and what are some of the common challenges people are going through right now with, you know, the increase of technology and pressures. And, you know, I'm seeing that as quite a theme, like a lot of people just feeling overwhelmed and, you know, just certain things that seem to be across the board, you know, anxiety, depression, and just really seeing how could I be supportive to people dealing with, you know, any of those kinds of things. And yeah, so.
Fantastic. Well, I could keep going. We've got so much more we could talk about, but I feel like we've covered enough to leave whoever's listening with some stuff to ruminate upon and to feel and explore and experiment with. I mean, yeah, I feel content that we have covered some delightful things. There's actually one more thing that I want to ask you about, which is is a personal. I mentioned him early on, but you mentioned Joseph Campbell, and you said you were watching a series of his on Netflix, which I hadn't heard of, but he. I love Joseph Campbell, and I think his idea of the hero's journey, and I know this is like a huge topic, but I just kind of would love to connect it with, well, how does it connect with you? Just to kind of bring this to I'm just interested and curious, and I'd love to hear
that.
You talk about it.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that in. You mentioned a little bit at the beginning and then weaving it into the end, I think is beautiful because... for me, Joseph Campbell was one of the first books I just, you know, in my 20s that I came upon. Oh my gosh, I don't want to date myself now, but that's like almost 30 years ago. So basically, it really spoke to me in terms of a soul's quest and a soul's journey. You know, at that time, I was just at the beginning, the door was just opening. In terms of my journey, you know, understanding a little bit more about my soul. And so that book was like, whoa, it just like, this is so amazing, you know, that this guy wrote this book and it just really spoke to me. So yeah, for anyone who, you know, hasn't read that book in a while or hasn't read it, I definitely recommend checking it out. And on Netflix, there's a series of interviews that Bill Moyers did with Joseph Campbell before he passed. And, you know, he asked him all kinds of questions, kind of like how we're doing, like just having conversations. And, oh my gosh, they're just so filled with passion and, you know, you can really see him living his journey, you know, and how in a book, you never really get that in the same way as you would in a video interview. So I'm just enjoying watching some of those. And I'm sure people could find maybe some of them on YouTube or on Netflix. They can check it out. Yeah. And definitely just like, again, it's beautiful to watch other people who have obviously he's been through his own, you know, soul's journey and so much has been revealed. And it's just inspiring to have different mentors or people to you know, guide you as we're going through these different phases, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I feel like, yeah, people like Joseph Campbell, Alan Watts, and so many others. And even, and this is kind of why I was excited to have you on, was because I feel like you yourself are someone who is deeply in that process and consciously in that process. And as we get more people doing that in the world, it's so important that we do things like this, as we said earlier, that we can come on, we can have these kind of conversations. So anyone out there listening who is at whatever phase of their personal journey they're at can listen and go, oh my gosh, I see some of myself in that, or, oh, I hadn't thought of that, or whatever. Even if they're like, oh, I disagree entirely with that, at least it helps people to give some more reflection and to invite people to go deeper into their own journey. So thank you for being willing and available to reflect and share.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm just so thrilled to be here and just had so much fun. And I hope that we can continue these conversations, because I, you know, so much more to talk about. And excited to see where it goes and to hear more about where, you know, how things develop for you. And thank you for being so open as well and just sharing so vulnerably, because I think that's also really important, you know, that we, instead of just scratching the surface, we went pretty deep right from the start of our conversation. And I love that. And I hope that will inspire others as well. You know, go out in your own world, you know, and have some pretty deep conversations and, you know, with people around you and see what happens, you know, and you might be surprised. I have noticed for myself, the people that I thought there's no way I'm going to be able to have a specific conversation with this person end up being the person I had the most incredible conversations with, you know. So just try to, you know, drop some of that judgment and be open. And there may be someone right in your own neighborhood that's really yearning for some deeper conversation as well.
Absolutely. And please let us know. Like send me an email, go to nakedwithnate.com, send me an email, be like, I had this conversation and this is what happened. I think the more we can tell stories of people courageously stepping into vulnerability and openness, the more we give one another permission to keep doing that. So thank you, Alex. Thanks for coming on today. Thanks for doing that. And hopefully speak soon.
All right. Have an amazing day. Bye for now. Blessings.
Take a deep breath and let it all out. That was a session. I don't know about you, but I really felt that and I loved it and it felt really special and worthwhile. So now it's your turn. If you feel something, if you choose to take on any of these experiments, if you choose to give yourself some more time to play or to sit and meditate or to have a deep conversation with someone you care about, let me know how it goes. Find me on nakedwithnate.com. Send me a message. Tell me what's up. I want to hear from you. You can also go and comment on the show notes to this very episode if you so choose. Those kind of experiences are a make my day kind of vibe for me. I love receiving your comments. I love knowing what you think, what you feel. I love knowing if you agree or disagree. Give me a call. Give me a comment. Leave a voice note even on the website. You'll see a link in the show notes. And let's continue this conversation. Let's keep getting naked with one another in all the ways that matter. Let's be real. This is what the world needs from us now more than ever. Thanks for being here another week. One more huge shout out to my patrons. Thank you for pledging, for supporting, for making this podcast possible and everything that I do possible. And to you who's listening, if you want to become a patron, that would be super rad and it would be a huge help as well. So do visit the show notes to check that all out. Thank you for getting naked with Nate. I'll see you next week.
Twilight fell upon the darkening road. I found myself again alone. Street lights went out by one, by two, by three, and I reveled in the shadows that had grown. Oh yes, I reveled in the darkness I had known. So many times I knew that the dance I danced was anything but new. Still
till I had seen him watching me, that old man in the moon. And I thought, hey, well, what else can I do? I'm here to dance, I'm gonna dance until it's through. Desert of this broken afternoon makes me wish I packed my wrestling costume. Yes, the jester is all dressed up as if he was a loon. Have you listened much to what it is he's doing? Oh, there's such method in the madness of his tune. Everything is not what it is.